This is your dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to InTheMoneyStocks.com.
Welcome. You're listening to Daily Market Wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. I'm Carrie Lutz, and today is April 17th. It's Friday, witching hour, witching day, and this is show number 15. Well, Nick, we're back for another fun-filled session. So you mentioned a couple positions yesterday, and you've been in and out.
Yeah, today I was very, very blessed and fortunate. I entered the Hyatt position yesterday, right after we, did our recording. And for the members, they woke up this morning and were able to capture 36% gain right as the market opened. So that was pretty nice. We also did another trade yesterday in BAC, and we captured under a 30%, 29.34% gain in that one as well. And I told your listeners as well, I got into the XLF. That's up about 4% today. So pretty good day overall. Pretty good moves here. And, we're doing well over here.
It's always nice to end a Friday on a profit, end a week on a profit. XLF, so that's going to be a longer-term trade, you think?
Yes. So right now, if you look at the markets, the XLF has been beaten down. The financials have been beaten up pretty good. And what they're doing on the chart is a pattern that I really, really like, and I hope it works out. But we put in a low on the 23rd. We put in a higher low on April 1st. And if we got a higher low again now, I mean, this should go up a lot more. So, we'll see how that shakes out. But what I'm thinking, and this is just my thought process, is that technology has had a great run, and that's really NASDAQ and NASDAQ 100 stocks. But I think that they're probably getting a little bit tired up here. They need to pull back. So we might get some money rotation out of the NASDAQ, and that could go into the financials here. So if that's my theory, I think that's a very good possibility of occurring. And if that does happen, that lifts these financials a lot higher. They've been really, really beaten up as of late. And the financials have, come under a lot of stress, obviously, with all the loans that they have to do and all of the programs that have been recently implemented by the government. So, they've really taken a little bit of a hit. But, if they start to come back, businesses start to open up again, I mean, they're really poised to make a really good move here. And the charts are telling me that.
And it's the ultimate contrarian move, because if you talk to the average person and you say, how would you like to buy some shares of JP Morgan Chase at a discount, or Bank of America, BAC, they're going to look at you like you're insane, right?
Absolutely. And that's music to my ears. The more people will disagree, the better off, or the more correct I think I'll be. So we're hearing that right now, and again, that's always good if you're a contrarian like myself.
Hey, and contrarians usually do well in the long run, because when you follow the herd, you usually follow them off a cliff.
Yeah, that's pretty much the truth. Unfortunately, that's just the way it works. So, there was an old saying we used to use in the 90s that thinking just gets in the way. That's why we just really just try to do what the charts tell us to do. Sometimes the best thing I tell a lot of my members is to turn the news off. Don't even listen to it. Turn it off, and you'll do better. Your performance will be better, because you won't be so influenced by everything they tell you in the news. So in my opinion, you have to just go ahead and just follow the charts.
Yeah. So we were talking earlier about fear and self-doubt. So at this particular point in time, where we've had a massive crash, a total economic stop, turn off, I don't want to call it a collapse yet, because this was really, they just turned the switch off effectively, and very few businesses are operating. This is kind of at the lowest low that you could think of. In a way, we can only improve from here, right?
Well, you would think so, and the charts are still telling me that there's more upside to go. And remember, when I turned around and started to get bullish in this market was really around mid-March. It was actually the 19th of March, and that was not only a natural turning point for the Earth with the spring equinox, but it's often a turning point for the stock market. So, you know, when I saw that, it was probably the most dire news you could hear. I mean, New York was reporting, you know, death numbers increasing on a daily basis. We had no real remedy or treatment for this coronavirus. So, you know, the old saying says it's always darkest before dawn. Not to say the markets, you know, can't turn around and go back down. Anything is possible. But as a chartist, you know, I have certain levels that I follow. And if we take out certain levels, then I would reverse my position. You know, you have to be flexible in this business. That's the one thing about being a trader. You know, yesterday I when I got into my Hyatt call position, got into my BAC call position, or even the XLF, people were sending me emails. What are you doing? What are you crazy? When I get those kind of emails, I actually say, wow, this play is going to work out real quick. And sure enough, today it works out just the way it did. So, you know, you got to be able, when others are fearful, you got to be able to step in. Doesn't mean, you know, we're not going to get pullbacks, or we maybe even at some time, you know, in the future, go down and retest it. I don't see that happening, quite frankly, but you just never know. And, you know, as a trader, we'll change with the charts.
Hey, and looking at gold and silver, they've been knocked down dramatically today and could well be a function of options expiration.
Yeah, but even more so, if you recall, just a few days, when I got out of my GDX position, I got out because we were getting overbought and extended. And I said, we got to work that overbought condition off. And, you know, even gold, if you take a look at GLD chart, you'll see that that went up into the 14th of April. Look at your gold futures chart, you know, that did the same thing. They were overbought. They got parabolic. And when every time you see that chart pattern, they need to pull back. So, I mean, I've been looking for gold to pull back, and, you know, when it pulls back into my level, I'll be getting back in that again. I've traded the GDX twice now in my bullseye options program, and, you know, we've made really, really good money, and in my bullseye trading program, we made money twice on it. So, and that's twice since basically March 23rd. So, you know, it's been a tremendous winner, and, you know, we'll do another trade in the gold and gold mining stocks again as soon as the chart pattern tells us to.
What do you think the number is to get back in?
I'm not sure yet, because it's more pattern pending than just a number. So sometimes you could have very, very good levels, you know, anywhere around 16.25, even 16.50 is a very good support level. Mm-hmm. For gold futures, but it's about what the chart does getting into that pattern, how the pattern looks. You know, you've got to remember, patterns are nothing more than the footprint of human nature and human psychology. So that's why they work, and they've you know, worked from the beginning of time, and I believe they'll work till the end of time.
Yeah. So can the algorithms recognize these patterns and act the way you do?
I'm not so sure, but I will say this. Every time I see the pattern, if for whatever reason, the buy programs and the algorithms trigger. So, you know, I don't know what the coincidence is there, but I just believe that the sequences that play out have always played out. It's never perfect. It's not a perfect system. But for the most part, I'd say that, you know, just think about this. If you look at gold miners, and that's ticker symbol GDX, you know, I got in on the 16th of March, and got out on the 17th. You know, with a 20% move, and then got back in GDX on the 30th, and got out on the, you know, the 13th of April. The 9th of April, for, you know, an 18.5% move on my second half position. So, you know, it just has a way of timing. When the patterns come in and they set themselves, you know, if you did it right, you're not going to have to wait long for the move to occur.
Interesting. So what else do you see looking ahead? Are there any other sectors that bear watching?
Yeah, I think everything in that travel sector now is in play. I'm also starting to watch some of the retailers. Today I saw a big move today occur in Best Buy, and this is a stock that's been putting in that similar type chart pattern. So that one's on my radar. I don't want to see it go up too much more or else I'm going to miss it. But that's a name that's on my radar right now. I like what it's doing on the chart. I still like the hotel stocks, as I mentioned. But I did trade that Hyatt yesterday and got out of it today. Hilton today is up 6.5%. Hyatt's up about 4.5% as we speak. But those chart patterns still are very, very good for more upside. And what I normally do here is I'll wait for them to pull back a little bit or to make more of a consolidation pattern, and I'll jump back on board those because the target of upside is so much higher than where we are currently.
Yeah, and you think it could be way higher, huh?
Yeah. I think like a chart like Hyatt can go into the $70 range. A chart like Hilton right now, which is around $75, could go up to around $90. So, yeah, there's a lot more meat and potatoes in the pattern. And again, if the pattern failed, you know, I'd see it pretty clearly because it's you know, the risk-reward is favorable to the upside with a pretty tight stop on the downside. So that's what makes those chart patterns so valuable.
Interesting. And nobody is betting on a revival of the travel sector at all. Nobody is.
No, I don't think so. But the big money is, and that's mm-hmm. what I always tell people as an independent trader, I'm really just the remora. That's the little fish that swims next mm-hmm. to the big shark. And I'm just following, eating off the big shark, just going where the big shark goes. And that's what we do using charts. We just follow the money flow. And you know, the old saying, follow the money, it still holds true to this very day.
Right. So any other retailers worth watching there?
Yeah, there are plenty of retailers actually worth watching right now. some that are making big moves today, though, are Home Depot and Lowe's. So they might have gotten away a little bit, but I like those chart patterns as well to go higher. So I'll be watching them over the next couple of days. They look pretty solid to me. I mentioned Best Buy already to you. That looks pretty good as well. so I'm going to keep a few of these on the radar. TJ Maxx is a pattern I like a lot. TJX is the ticker symbol. They own the Home Goods stores yeah. and a few other big stores. That's a chart that I really like. I'm keeping that one on the radar. So, again, I haven't gotten into these yet. I'm just giving you guys alerts of what I'm looking at, what I'm looking to get into. But, yeah, there are some nice patterns developing on a lot of these different retailers at the moment.
Yeah, and what's great is we were talking pre-call, and I have a very close friend who's a pilot for a major airline, and I said, you know, according to my friend Nick Santiago, these charts are looking really good. These companies are going to break out, and he says, well, I'm in the business, and I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, again, if you're not a trained technical trader, you probably won't realize it. You know, there's so many times I'm going to share a story with you if I could real quick, but I was at a party one time in the late 90s and the markets were flying high. And I'll never forget. There was a CFO of a company there that somebody introduced me to. And it's a publicly traded company. I don't want to mention the name or the person. And I'll never forget this, but he had a few too many cocktails and he was bragging about his stock is going to fly off the charts and, you know, we are reporting the best numbers ever and all of these different, you know, he was just touting the company how good their earnings report's going to be and the stock's going to skyrocket. And I turned around and I said, oh, it's funny you mention that because I trade that stock a lot and I do agree with you. I think your numbers are going to be sensational, but your stock, I think, is peaked out and you're probably going to be down after earnings. Well, that morning, I'll never forget, the earnings came out on a Tuesday morning, and they were blockbuster numbers. The stock gapped up. By the closing bell, the stock was down about 15 points. Wow. And that was the end. That was an all-time high in the name. So, you know, that's why I use charts. It's not to argue anybody or debate anybody. I'm just going really with what the money flow is telling me.
Mm-hmm. Hey, and the money flow doesn't lie, right? And
where's the international money going to be going after the crash? They aren't investing in Europe, right? They're sure as heck not investing in Asia. It's coming here to the U.S. So more money, and there's going to be more money floating around, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been saying for the longest time that the dollar is the best place to be. We call it jokingly the Taj Mahal of Baltimore.
Yeah.
But it's still the best place to be. I mean, that's where the confidence is. And again, if something changes, you know, we talk about it. But right now, I still think that the money flows are still in the U.S.
Yeah. Yep. I'm inclined to agree. And that's just a survey of the economic wreckage. I mean, there's got to be a major revamping of the economy here, of debt, of everything else at some point shortly. Don't you think, Nick?
Well, I would say right now, you know, we've put a lot of money into, there's been a lot of money put into the system. And, you know, you don't want to really fight that unless the market tells you to fight it. Hopefully, and this is hopefully, which is a word I don't like to use for trading. I like to use it for church. But yeah, hopefully everything starts to come back. And, you know, we're starting to see some states open up today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things are starting, you know, you're seeing some light at the end of the tunnel here and a little bit more light. And, you know, it's always hard, especially for people in general, to just ever, and I'm not a perma bull, believe me when I tell you. I mean, I've spent many years on the bear case. But, you know, I just go with the charts. And when the charts tell me that we have to look towards the upside, this is where we are. We have to look towards the upside.
Yeah, yeah. And hey, you and I, since we started this podcast, Daily Market Wisdom, and if you haven't been over to Nick's site, inthemoneystocks.com, get over there now. We're on Twitter talking about this, Nick. But since we started, you and I have been saying coronavirus has peaked. And we're going to see a rapid decline in the number of cases and deaths out a while. But the trend was already in place, and yet everybody missed it, Nick, except for very few people, very few of you out there. Everyone missed that trend. That, to me, not even being a stock trader, but just the trend itself was so pronounced in the numbers, if you knew where to look.
Well, it's not easy. You know, it's not easy because you're being bombarded with the news every day. You know, you could get the governor of New York talking about needing 40,000 ventilators. You could get somebody else out there telling you that, you know, they need a ship that they need to convert into a hospital. They need to turn the Jacob Javits Center into a hospital. I mean, you're getting bombarded with so much negative news that automatically you're being programmed to think that the sky is falling. And there's been a lot of negative reporting too. Sometimes you don't really know what to believe. That's why I don't even listen to it. I really just go to the charts, and I'm not saying that, hey, these things aren't true or can't be true. Maybe, you know, you never know what can happen tomorrow, but if the chart tells me to change my position, I will change my position quickly. And that's the benefit of being a trader, as opposed to somebody, you know, like a Warren Buffett, who, you know, is in it, you know, for 20 years or the long haul, or, you know, buy and hold forever. For me, it's just, I'm going with the money flow. I'm looking at the time frames. I'm just trying to diagnose what the chart patterns are revealing. And, you know, when they change, I change.
Yeah, exactly. And I can see the next election, there'll be some politician running on a platform of a ventilator in every home, right? I mean, they just had everybody feeling like if we don't have ventilators, we're all doomed. Now we're going to have so many ventilators, you'll probably find Groupons for them, you know, Nick?
Well, we've definitely have produced quite a bit. We'll see where we go. I know I never make light of any, I don't think we ever want to make light of any situation, but right now, you can honestly say we're not using the equipment, you know, or the amount of ventilators that we've. In fact, I think New York is even shipping ventilators out to other states, right?
Yeah, and countries. And that's the thing. You have this overreaction. And I'm not just talking about, you know, it was a very serious situation. And it might well have been a justified overreaction. But when you devote like massive amounts of your GDP to surgical masks, gloves, and personal protection equipment, you wind up having a massive surplus that's going to be sitting in warehouses waiting for the next pandemic. They might not even remember where it is by the time that next pandemic comes along, Nick. You know, there just seems to me there should be a better way of reacting to emergencies than with panic.
Yeah, I mean, this situation here was really unprecedented, but, I'm not sure I have the right answer for that. But what I will say is that, now maybe you do produce stockpiles of things and you have them ready to go when needed, if that is the case. I mean, it looks like we're going to have a lot of ventilators, just to use that for now. But, I mean, I don't really have the answer to all of those questions. And, again, we'll see if maybe now the world can be better prepared for something like this going forward. I mean, I really just don't know.
Yeah, well, it's... we always have the right amount of emergency responders until there's an emergency, and then we don't have enough. We don't have enough equipment, et cetera. Do you plan for the peak where any possibility you're going to have everything on hand or what? I think that's like a policy discussion, not really related to what we're doing here. But the point is, being a contrarian in this situation meant that not turning off the news, turning off the gloom and doom, and seeing the silver lining in the cloud is really where it's at. It'll be interesting to see the rest of the month. We still, the rest of the year rather, Nick, we still have got eight and a half more months to go. You're predicting a kind of volatile, choppy, maybe directionless, trendless market for the rest of the year?
Yeah, we've had a tremendous move since the March bottom, which happened on the 23rd. For the most part, we've had a fair amount of volatility in there. And I think right now we've had such a good gain with the markets retracing basically 50% of the move from the February top to the March low. So when that happens, you're not going to just go up in a straight line. You're going to get a lot of backing and filling. But as long as you don't take out some prior support areas now, there's more upside in the cards here. So, anything can change. I'm not saying it can't. Today the spiders got to their 50-day moving average, which is, quite a task considering that they were, the 50-day moving average is around 286 and we were down to around 218, just a month ago. So it is quite remarkable that we've had this kind of snapback bounce. Now, a lot of people will tell you, this is a typical bear market bounce. I don't see it that way right now because the charts are still telling me there's upside. Could they be right? Sure, maybe they'll be right. But right now, I'm still seeing, regardless of, how much choppiness we do. I mean, even on the down days, I've been able to come on this podcast and say, hey, I still think we're going higher, and that hasn't changed today.
Yeah. So I find that fascinating, too, that if you listen to the consensus, this is basically a dead cat bounce, right? A dead cat rally, relief rally, snapback, whatever you want to call it. And really, when I go back to the traditional Dow theory, this comes, there were like primary movements. So it's the overall market's bullish or it's bearish. That's the primary move. And then there's secondary moves, which could last from anywhere from 30 days to 6 months. And this is before electronic trading, so it's probably speeded up now. And you could retrace up to from 30 to 100% of the prior major move forward, which we basically did in a matter of weeks. We took back all the gains since 2016, and everybody thinks it's the beginning of a new bear market, and then the market fakes them out and it goes higher, because the primary trend was always intact. But most investors, watchers, whatever, pundits couldn't grasp that.
No, and And, you know, something similar occurred in 2018. If you recall, markets peaked out around in September, late September 2018, and they declined into December, right around the Christmas time. And I believe I was on your program at that time, and I said, I'm looking for a bounce right around the 21st to the 26th. And sure enough, the 26th was the low, and, you know, markets proceeded to new all-time highs. I don't think we'll get to new all-time highs in 2020, but I do think we ultimately will make new all-time highs.
Yeah, there's an inflationary argument for that one point alone. Just that, I guess, all the great traders that I've ever met, and I include you among that group, I've been blessed to know at least half a dozen really world-class traders, always had that ability, that innate ability to turn off the news, to turn off the noise. Noise, news equals noise, right? To turn it off, to make their assessment, and to act on their trade and to have confidence in your trade and ride it out and make money, whereas the rest of the market, the rest of the investors are drowning. And I think if that's one thing you can bring to the table, Nick, it's that level-headedness and lack of emotion in making these choices.
Yeah, and Kerry, I thank you for the nice words. I appreciate that, and it's true. And another thing, you know, people don't realize too, like I have two programs. I have a swing trading program with a nightly report, and then I have an options program where, you know, the downside, I knew the downside was coming long before it happened, and I was putting out put options after put options, and these things, you know, making 25, 30, 40, 80%. I mean, it was just one after another. And that's where you use a small amount of capital and to make a large percentage gain. Now, if you're wrong, you know, worst case scenario, you're going to lose your premium paid, which is just a fraction of what the stock price would have been. So there are ways for people to do this going forward. You know, I mean, yeah. you don't have to go ahead and try to buy, you know, Google or Amazon, you know, where it's trading $2,000 a share or $1,200 a share. I mean, you can go in there and just do an options trade. And if you get a little education under your belt about how to do it, you know, and I don't do spreads or any of the, you know, any of these hedging products. I'm just in it as a swing trade, really, for the most part. But that's a good way to trade these bear phases where you're not risking, you know, a ton of money. And that's what I always try to tell people is that, you know, you can do these trades. Anybody can do them. But, you know, the good part about it is when, you know, less capital you got on board, the less, you know, emotional you'll be to the trade. So for me, I've been doing this stuff for so long. It's different, but I always tell people, you know, there's ways of doing this and, you know, without risking, you know, your whole life's fortune. And you know, you don't want to ever put all your eggs in one basket either. You know, you have to keep some dry powder in case there's other opportunities. But, you know, they don't teach this stuff in school.
No,
you know, And that's really the bottom line.
Yeah, well, you know, some of the best education you get in life never happens in a classroom. Managing your money, investing is one of those things. Take the courses, get the fundamentals, but then you have to learn how the real world works. And the real world is slightly different than what they teach you in school because you have real money riding and your decisions really do have impacts. They have consequences. And on that note, we will we'll leave it, but just go over to inthemoneystocks.com. Take a look at what Nick has done in the past year. I think you'll be as impressed as I am. And see the offer there. If you like it, go for it. Nick, we'll talk to you Monday.
Kerry, thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
This is your dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to inthemoneystocks.com.